How We Met Your Mother is the How I Met Your Mother rewatch podcast with me, Josh Radner, and series co-creator Craig Thomas. Follow How We Met Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
The R&B Tour starring Usher Raymond and Chris Brown is coming to Northwest Stadium on July 10th and 11th. Tickets are on sale now, a Live Nation show. Keep listening to 105.7 The Fan for your chance to win tickets, courtesy of Live Nation.
From the Anderson Automotive Studios, this is WJZ-FM, Catonsville, Baltimore's sports talk at 105.7 and always live on the free Odyssey app. From the OuchGuy.com sports desk, here's Joe LaCroix.
The Orioles get back on the diamond today, opening up a three-game series with the Houston Astros. The Birds are hoping to bounce back after a disappointing weekend series against the Red Sox, where they let a club in turmoil outscore them by a combined 18 runs in Saturday and Sunday's losses. The offense has left a lot to be desired thus far, with the team ranked 17th in runs per game and the team OBP at 16th. The fans are starting to grow restless. Here's Gunnar Henderson on what it will take to get more consistency from the bats.
As a team perspective, I just feel like keep stringing good at bats together. I feel like that's the name of it, is just keep getting on base and obviously give yourself opportunities to score early, and we know the pitchers will have our back.
The Birds will look to get things going this evening against Houston, and the fan has your pregame coverage for the series opener with Baltimore Baseball tonight, presented by Jerry's Home Services, beginning at 5:30, with first pitch slated for 6:35. Your Tuesday forecast from the Bob Bell, Kia Nissan of Essex Weather Center, turning cloudy with a chance for showers, highs around 60. This Fan Flash is sponsored by the Maryland Lottery. Play the exciting new Diamonds and Gold Scratch-Off and new Rose Gold Scratch-Off from the Maryland Lottery. You can win up to $2 million. Please play responsibly. I'm Joe LaCroix, Ravens, Terps, and your home for the most Orioles coverage. We are 105.7 The Fan.
Lots of fun hockey going on. Lots of white dudes on skates running into each other at full speed. Let's do that hockey.
Sports Radio, 105.7 The Fan.
We're doing the hockey right now with Ed Norris. Hey, what's going on?
Oh, a lot. It's been an exciting postseason. Two of the preseason favorites to win the Cup have advanced already. Both the Colorado Avalanche and the Carolina Hurricanes have swept their series. Avalanche took the Kings 4-0, and the Hurricanes took the Senators 4-0. They're both advanced, waiting for their opponent to be decided now. From the Avalanche side, the Stars and the Wild are knotted up at 2. And Hurricanes is waiting for the Flyers-Penguins series to be over. Penguins won last night. Now it's 3-2, that series. Philadelphia leading. So it's been pretty exciting. It's as you'd expect. You know, a lot of physicality, a lot of speed. Yep.
You like Pittsburgh to come back and win this?
No, I think the Flyers take this.
Okay.
Are the Flyers just that much tougher than Pittsburgh, or that much better than Pittsburgh?
It's funny you say that.
Because the talent doesn't look that different to me.
No, and what's interesting is the Penguins like the most penalized team right now as far as penalty minutes, which is unusual for them. But they've been complaining about the officiating, so who knows?
Is this a style makes fights type of matchup? Or
the one that I think is this style makes fights is the Lightning Canadiens.
Okay,
more than any. I mean, that series is tied at 2, and. I think the Canadiens can actually be better. They're very young. The youngest team in the playoffs right now, the Montreal Canadiens. So real fast, it's like a track meet up and down the ice when they're playing. And the Lightning, on the other hand, are very physical. They had more fights, penalty minutes and fights than any team in the NHL this season. So they've been trying to rough up the Canadiens, who have bitten at times, and they're not going to win that battle. So that's the way I think style makes fights, because they're just two very vastly different teams. And I tell you guys, you know, if you have a goalie that's got a hot hand, man, what a difference it makes. Because you look at the two goalies, Frederick Anderson of the Hurricanes and Scott Wedgwood of the Avalanche, both at the very top as far as save percentage and goals against average right now in the postseason. Pretty remarkable. So number two and number three, and they've both swept. So they've, you know, just dominated. But Alex Lyon of the Sabres is actually at the top. He's given up in three games, two goals. He's given up, you know, 0.90 goals against with a 9.64 save percentage. And they're up 3-1 in their series against the Bruins. So, again, goaltending matters. And just if you need to know, Brandon Hagler of the Lightning is leading with the 6 goals in the postseason right now.
So the next, is there something in particular you'd like to see in the next round as far as matchups go? I know some of the teams have already advanced, but do you think seeing this matchup would be better than, say, seeing the, because I know I do that in the NBA all the time, of if I don't have a dog in the fight, I just think about the next round and what the best matchup would be.
Yeah, the one there's obviously had the Lightning fair and the Hurricanes. I'm following both teams closely. But I think the Avalanche, their opponent would matter. And I'd like to see them play the Stars. Dallas Stars, that series with the Stars in the Wild is knotted at 2. And I think the Avalanche and the Stars would be great because they're division rivals. They hate each other. Some people think the Stars actually have a better team. But the Avalanche, look, they won the President's Trophy this year. Best regular season record in the NHL. And they just rolled right over the Kings. You know, just blew them out. Mm. So I would like to see them face the Stars, though, because I think that would be a real challenge more than anything else. And I do find it interesting that the Mammoth are still alive. The Golden Knights.
Ed, something was brought up like about this playoff series, and obviously knowing that they're a new team, first playoff game ever, opening up that, you know, that facility in the postseason, seeing how the fans react. I feel like that kind of gave them an extra bump. I don't know if you feel that way. And then they took the lead, and I guess it's kind of strange to see it.
It is. It is. Hockey's pretty kind of cool in that way because the Golden Knights were the other expansion team. Were right to the Cup, if you remember. So that's who they're facing right now. So two really new teams, the Mammoth, brand new. And they did have the jersey exchange because, you know, they're border states with Nevada. So they had a lot of Golden Knights fans. So if you turn into a Knights jersey, you get a Mammoth jersey for free.
This is totally off topic, but since we brought up Mammoth, I was watching the Hulk Hogan documentary, the series on Netflix. I watched the first episode. And his ex-wife, Linda, was talking about the first time that she went back to the apartment with him. And he said, give me a second. He went in the bathroom, and he came out completely naked. And she wanted to say he looked like a woolly mammoth. And she said he looked like a mooly whammoth. And she goes, or whatever they're called, a mooly whammoth. I'm like, what the hell? You guys were recording. They just left that in. So stupid. Sorry. As soon as you said mammoth, I went, yeah. Anyway, got to finish that today.
Bruins Sabres today. I don't know if you brought it up, but do you think the Sabres close them out?
I do. I think the Sabres to me, the best story in the NHL this season.
They for real?
Yeah, they're for real. I mean, they lead the series against the Bruins 3-1. Their goaltender is, you know, the best goaltender in the postseason right now. I love the Sabres. I'd love to see them advance. I hope to put the Bruins away and hope to face the Lightning because that's the other series. They're in that bracket. Mm.
And the Oilers are trailing the Ducks. Anaheim Ducks 3-1.
The Ducks are dominant. The Ducks have been scoring a lot of goals.
Flying V is tough,
but they weren't that dominant during the regular season, though, were they?
They were good. I mean, not that dominant. The Avalanche dominated the NHL this that West, but the Ducks were good all season.
From a gambling standpoint, I always found myself on Anaheim whenever they were at home, and like they were always, it always felt like they were a small favorite or small underdog. And if you ever watch me or listen to me talking about hockey betting, it's always totals or small favorites, small underdogs. Mm-hmm. I'm not betting the big favorites and all that crazy stuff. And I was on Anaheim so many times this year, and I was talking to somebody, ironically, they brought them up yesterday, saying, that's the team I'm pulling for. They've made me so much money.
Well, if you look, I mean, just in the postseason, I mean, they're averaging 5 goals a game. Mm. It's unheard of. I mean, the Sabres are second with 3.75. So 5 goals a game is just, you know, head and shoulders above everybody else. The power plays at 50%.
Second is under 4. That is
quack.
Big. That's a huge quack.
Yeah, distance quack there. And the power play numbers are awesome. If you scored on half your power plays, you're going to win.
Thank you very much, Ed. Ed just did the hockey. That just happened, Jeremy.
Yeah. That happened.
410-583-1057. That's the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. O's Astros preview at 7:30. Kim McCusick joins us in studio at 8 o'clock. But on the other side, I'm talking Ravens. Talk a little Orioles. Do it all. That's right, Cordell's Woodland is the man on the scene, and he'll join us up next on The Fan.
After the Big Bad Morning Show, it's Vinny and Haney.
Hey, we got more draft stuff coming your way. Nick Baumgartner, The Athletic, get his thoughts on what the Ravens did and everyone else in the division. Kevin Allstriker, USA Today, will talk about what's happening out at the Castle. We'll preview the Orioles and the Houston Astros. Birds trying to get back at it after a rough one against Boston, and everything else happening on your Sports Tuesday.
Next on Sports Radio 105.7 The Fan.
Well, it's almost May, believe it or not, and Sunday, May 10th, is Mother's Day. So from 11 to 7, the Mount Washington Tavern is hosting a special Mother's Day brunch, all about celebrating the great women in your life. So enjoy some delicious food, some great drinks, relaxed vibes, that warm neighborhood feel that makes the tavern a Baltimore favorite. Been going there for 25 years, certainly my favorite. So it's a perfect place to make memories with family and friends, but reservations are required. It is Mother's Day, so call or book online today because it's coming up fast and tables fill up fast. And obviously we're talking baseball because it's that time of year. So don't miss out because the tavern is the best spot to catch baseball games. Plenty of TVs, three bars, lots of TVs all through the restaurant. You can hang out with friends, or if you have tickets, just hop on the light rail right to the ballpark. It's right across the street, jump on the light rail, do it in reverse, come back to the tavern when the game's over. No hassles with traffic and parking and all that. And of course, Monday to Friday, happy hours are great. 3 to 6, $10 martinis, old fashions, Manhattans, $8 crab hush puppies, mussels, and plenty more. And Sundays, $5 drinks like crushes, rail drinks, and canned seltzers. So make it a full day. Enjoy great food, raise a glass with your friends, relax, take in the energy of a place that always brings a great crowd. And while you're there, say hi to Rob, Dave, and Buck, Mount Washington Tavern, where Baltimore eats.
From the 105.7 The Fan Traffic Center.
Good morning. 295 southbound, just past 895. An accident has two right lanes and the right shoulder blocked. 95 southbound, really backed up in the city. You're on the brakes from the 895 split through the Fort McHenry Tunnel. 895 southbound is super slow from Pulaski Highway through the Harbor Tunnel. The outer loop of the Beltway are on the brakes just past 95 all the way to Providence and 795 to Liberty. With your traffic, I'm Maria Dennis.
The Big Bad Morning Show is sponsored by Vinny Steele, your home sold guaranteed realty.
Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Ed Norris, Rob Long, Jeremy Kahn joining us right now. Our man Cordell Woodland. What's going on, Cordell? I'm sorry. It's not working over here,
Hit
Joe.
That button.
I got it now. What's up, Cordell?
What's going on?
Doing well, man. Listen, we talked to you after the first pick, but not after the entire draft. Your thoughts, Baltimore Ravens. We know they still need a center, need one badly. But with that aside, did they address the other needs that they have?
Yeah, I think so for the most part. I mean, they immediately, with their first two picks, go in the trenches, Awane at guard, and then they go get Zion Young to kind of help beef up their defensive line. You get two jump ball receivers, both over 6 feet. No problem with either of those, especially the Surratt one. I really like that one. Get a punter in the later rounds. Adam Randall could end up being a really good value pick. Quavis as well. He was really good for Bama last year. A lot of people like Chandler Rivers. He's undersized, but we'll see. They've kind of had a thing for some of these undersized corners throughout their history. Matthew Hebner, another tight end. Eric had talked about getting multiple tight ends through the draft, and that's exactly what he did. So I do think they try to target a lot of their needs. Obviously, like you mentioned, the center is a big question mark for them. We'll see what they do to go fill that.
They did pick up two wide receivers as well, fairly early in draft, rounds 3 and 4. What do you think of the picks of Lane and Surratt?
I like them. A lot of people are so heavy into separation, and not everybody makes a living off of separation. Usually the bigger receivers don't need to separate that much because they're really good at the contested catches, and that's mm-hmm. what those guys do, especially – you know, in the red zone, Surratt led the nation in touchdowns. So, I mean, the dude can play. Lane as well, he's made a ton of spectacular catches. And that stuff only gets harder to do once you get to this level. So, I get it. But I think they understand that they have guys that can separate. Now they need some guys that can go up there and make some of those contested catches. Isaiah Likely was one of their best, if not the best contested catch guy that they had on the team, and they just lost him. So they did need somebody to help Lamar out once the play breaks down and he gets into that second and third play. And most times, a lot of times, you're not going to be wide open. So these guys have a wide catch radius. Lane has struggled with the drop sometimes, but I do think both of these guys have a avenue to where they can contribute at some point.
I just look
just
back
for people listening. They went 6'2 and 6'4. They went for big receivers.
Yeah, I just look back at basically the Bears offense and what they'd done in the draft the past couple years since Declan Doyle's now here. Mm-hmm. And in that offense, they do a really good job of getting guys in space. So maybe, as you pointed out, separation might not be the most important thing, but I think both of these guys are going to be used as red zone threats and third downs. I think you're going to see them both used in some capacity this year. Cordell, what about you?
Yeah, I mean, and to that point, I mean, Chicago did a really good job of getting their young receivers involved. I mean, they were picking a receiver, it felt like, each year.
Yeah, and they hit on Luther Burton, point, so, like, it's...
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. I mean, at one point, you thought Adulze was going to be the guy, and then Luther Burton comes, and he's going crazy. So, yeah, I think, there's an avenue for these guys to be able to get out there and have success early. And it doesn't have to be right away. You know, it could end up coming mid to late year. But like you said, Chicago showed us that it can come in waves.
Cordell Woodland joins us, Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Cordell, on to the other pro team in the area, the Baltimore Orioles. We put this out there yesterday. I think hitters have the resume to do what they do. Pitchers have the resume to do what they do. But the one thing I question on this team, and I don't know if it gets any better, defense is not very good.
No, I just don't know how they can improve defensively. And Albie's been asked quite a bit about the defense. And it's tough to talk about it because, like you said, you're not just pulling Gold Glovers off the bench. These guys aren't just going to all of a sudden start making spectacular plays. But you'd like them to gain some sort of consistency on that end, make the routine plays, throw to the right base, make the plays in the outfield when they're there. And they just, that's escaped them. Fundamental baseball in general has escaped them a lot. And that's something that, you know, Albie is trying to install in it, and it takes some time. But yeah, I mean, the defense is going to be the biggest root to their problems. Between that and their offense not being consistent enough, because if they're going to win anything, it has to be on the backs of their offense, and they just can't score on a nightly basis.
We were talking about Colton Cowser earlier. He's just not hitting. It's been a long time, period. I don't know how else to put it. What do you think would be best for him? Tavares seems to be doing a good job right now. Cowser's just, oddly enough, can't hit a changeup from what we're talking about. Should they send him down and get his confidence back?
I mean, it's getting to that point to where you're running out of options. I don't know what else to do. Now, the problem is, I'm not sure if Enrique Bradfield has come back yet, but he was dealing with a hand soreness, last last week. So that's been a bugaboo of his. It feels like every other month he's dealing with a nagging injury. It might be time once he gets healthy and back up and running to give him a look. He may not give you much at the plate either, but Kyle's just giving you nothing right now. And at least Bradfield gives you a boost to your outfield defense, which has been inconsistent at best. He gives you a boost to your base running whenever he does get on the bases. And he does have some upside. So, yeah, I mean, I just don't think Kyle's is showing anything right now. His gloves, he's still one of their better defensive outfielders, but you got to be able to hit a little bit. And he just seems like he's so far removed from that rookie year where even that was up and down, but at least he flashed the power at different times that year. Right now, we're not seeing it at all.
What are your thoughts on Trevor Rogers? I mean, he's been getting guys the two strikes and not figuring out how to get the hell out of that not even a jam. I mean, he'll be ahead and still can't figure out how to get ahead of that. What are your thoughts on what he's been doing recently, and is that fixable here in the future?
I'd like to think so. He's been so good going back to last year and even the start this year that at some point, he was going to come back down to earth. All season, we all said we didn't expect him to duplicate what he did last year. And at least the way he's playing right now, his ERA has ballooned to almost 5. You know, he's looking like that. Now, it can't be this way going forward, because then I can't really argue with the Orioles for not – extending him. But I'd like to think that he's going to wake up. He's not going to go an inning and two thirds every other outing. That was just ridiculous. And a lot of bad luck. I mean, they end up losing 17-1. They just didn't have it at all that day. I'd like to think that at some point he's going to bounce back and be able to finish these hitters off and be able to get back to getting out of some of these jams that he got himself into. But that's the problem. You know, you kind of play with danger a little bit when you are putting two guys on an inning and you find your way to get out of it. Sometimes you won't be able to, and I think that's what's happened with him recently. Yeah.
Cordell Woodland, tell us all about Fresh Take with you and Ben Hall.
Yeah, me and Ben, we host Fresh Take on Thursday evenings. We'll be back this Thursday. We'll talk a lot about the NFL draft recap, what the Ravens did, a ton about the NBA playoffs that are going on. We'll probably have some eliminations by then. The Orioles, we'll see how this series goes with the Astros right now. So we'll be all over everything.
Thursday would be great for you guys because you have afternoon baseball with the Orioles. You can talk all about it at the end of it. There you go, man.
Yeah, right.
Thanks a lot for your time, Cordell.
Thanks, Cordell.
Thanks, guys.
All right, buddy. 410-583-1057. That's the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Ken McCusick joins us at 8 o'clock. But speaking of O's baseball, start a new three-game series tonight with the Houston Astros. We'll preview that up next on the Fan.
Wherever the Orioles season takes you.
Say goodbye to this ball!
Download the free Odyssey app and hear reactions to all the biggest moments. Download it today and search 105.7 The Fan.
Don't miss Orioles baseball tonight. Coverage begins on Masson and Masson Plus at 6 o'clock with O's Extra with me. Then the first pitch at 6:35. Masson is your home for Orioles baseball. No cable, no satellite, no problem. Every Masson Orioles game also streams live on the all-new, totally refreshed Masson Plus app. Visit MassonSports.com and sign up for the Masson Plus pass for only $19.99 a month. Again, Masson, your home for Orioles baseball.
Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
From the 105.7 The Fan Traffic Center.
Good morning, 295 southbound, just past 895. An accident has the right lane and the right shoulder blocked. The tunnel's super backed up. 95 southbound is backed up from past the 895 split. Also, 895 southbound, you're on the brakes from Moravia Road through the Harbor Tunnel. The inner loop of the Beltway looks good. The outer loop is slow on the east side from 95 all the way to York. And on the west side from Reisterstown Road to Baltimore National Pike on and off. And I-70 eastbound, super slow approaching the Beltway. With your traffic, I'm Maria Dennis.
From the OuchGuy.com sports desk, here's Joe LaCroix.
The Ravens' newly drafted players, as well as undrafted free agents, will head to the Castle this weekend for rookie minicamp, their first taste of life in the NFL. And with the dust now settled on the draft, you start to get the story behind the picks. A video of Baltimore's first-rounder guard Venga Ione started to go viral over the weekend as he was seen helping an equipment manager push a cart down the tunnel before a game. Here's GM Eric DaCosta on how much the person behind the player matters to teams.
All that stuff matters in some little small way. Saw that he helps the guy push the thing. Yeah, that's really cool. I think it speaks to his humility and just who he is as a person, how his parents raised him. All that stuff, we look at all that social media. You know, I always tell my kids, be careful because people like me are scouring the internet looking at your social media, you know. I think that stuff's really important.
Ravens rookie minicamp begins Friday morning. And tonight at the Yard, the O's get back in action, welcoming the Astros to Baltimore for a three-game set. And the Fan has your pregame coverage for this evening's game with Baltimore Baseball Tonight, presented by Jerry's Home Services, beginning at 5:30 with first pitch slated for 6:35. Your Tuesday forecast from the Bob Bell, Kia Nissan of Essex Weather Center, turning cloudy with a chance for showers, highs around 60. This Fan Flash is sponsored by the Dr. Lairfield Smile Design Center. Call 410-321-1100 to schedule your appointment today. I'm Joe LaCroix, Ravens, Terps, and you're home for the most Orioles coverage. We are 105.7 The Fan.
Rob Long, Ed Norris, and Jeremy Kahn. The Big Bad Morning Show. Sports Radio, 105.7 The Fan.
Thank you.
Well played, Joe.
7:31 in the a.m. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Come on, school me.
This is the Cranberry song I was singing.
In his head.
That's the name of this
song? Cowsers in his... It's called Zombies.
That's the name of this band?
Song. Yeah, Cranberry.
I know the song. Well, see, I knew the song. I don't know the band.
It's not the name of the band. They actually, since they're British, they took their... What are they, Irish? Irish,
they're
right?
Irish.
Yeah, they accidentally took and ran with it, so it's actually the Cranberries.
Cranberries?
Yeah, the Cranberries.
Dolores O'Riordan on vocals.
Yeah.
I knew the song. I just didn't... I'm like, what are you talking about? When he played it...
They also have that other one. Do you have to smell your finger... Right? Is that the one, Joe? Finger?
I've never heard of that one.
I just thought that was the name of it.
O's play the Astros tonight, 6:35. You can catch the pregame show at 6 o'clock. Astros, a team that's underachieving as well, 11-18. You know what the Astros are, Ed? No. Astros are that Jenga game. You know what I mean? You play Jenga, you pull a piece away, it stays up. You pull another piece away, it stays up. You keep pulling pieces away, and finally... You pull that final piece away and it crumbles. You say, well, that was the piece. No, it wasn't. It was a combination of all the other pieces that you pulled that got them to this point. That's the Houston Astros. They kept pulling pieces away year after year after year. And finally, Framber Valdez goes and the team falls apart. It wasn't just because of Framber. It's because every year you kept taking away from that roster and not adding back.
Yeah. They just had a rough series with the Yankees recently. They're just not what you expect. I mean, you know, they dominated that division for so long. But now you're right. You take enough people away.
Yeah.
You don't have a very good baseball team anymore.
Little by little. And Jeremy, 11-18, I can say that's not what I expected. But at the same time, we did preseason expectation. Remember, I don't know who the Astros are because they kept losing major pieces to the roster. And at some point, it's going to cost you.
Yeah, we saw Seattle take a step forward last year, and then people were... There's a lot of people that were bullish on the A's. Like, oh, I like all this young talent. They've got some young pitching. They're still a ways away.
Right.
And then, of course, there's the Rangers and Astros where you're going, okay, what are you guys?
Right.
And with the Astros, one of the big problems they've had this year is their starting pitching. They went out and they signed one of the imports in Amai, and he's just gotten his ass whooped every time he goes out there. Whooped. They've also, you had Hunter Brown. He got hurt. And then you some of these other pieces that you got back. I did find it interesting, Joe, I don't know if you have the sound, but the name of the Astros starting pitcher tonight, I don't know if you've seen this.
Kawhi Leonard.
His name's Kawhi. Kawhi is pitching for the Astros.
You guys made fun of me. I was ahead of my time.
Yeah, Kawhi. I think his name might be Kai Wei. I don't know.
What an ass. I think both of you are asses because he bought into it.
And I love that Rob's doing the game tonight so he can go back and throw. Kaiwee is looking good tonight, guys.
You could be like that song in my head.
Well, like I tried to do with Rubenstein the first time.
And by the way, it is Kaiwee, but I like Kaiwee better.
Oh, man. But the Astros, you've talked about Yordan Alvarez is on another planet with how good he is at hitting.
He's on the pace for Triple Crown, man.
Cam Smith behind him, one of the prospects that they got back in the Kyle Tucker trade. I think Cam Smith is one of those guys that he's going to turn into something. They've got a lot of young outfielders that are very similar in style of play. And, I mean, you're waiting for the ghost of Altuve to show up at some point. And it's just, he's kind of... I think he's on that downside of his career when he's going to end up saying goodbye here not too long.
You know, it's funny because if you're going to have a down year in the West, this is the year to have it. Our buddy Mike Fast tweeted us this. The AL East, the total wins, the record is 73-69, the best division in the American League, the win percentage of .514. The Central, Ed, their combined record 66-79, a win percentage for that division of .456. The AL West is even worse. Their win percentage is .452 with a 66-80 record. So the only division with a winning record in the American League is the AL East.
Yeah, and the A's lead the West, which sounds great. You just mentioned the young talent, people excited about the A's, but they're only 15-13.
Yeah.
They're barely over .500 and the only team in the West over .500. It's not what you're used to seeing. I thought the Mariners would be better this year. But it's early. But we'll see.
Yeah, I mean, even at 11-18, They're only 4.5 games back of the Nationals. 11-18. And I say all of that to say, Jeremy, you just Jose Altuve may be on the downside of his career, but you know what Hall of Famers can do on the downside of their careers? Still get hot.
Yeah.
They can still get. I'm with you. I think we're seeing the sands through the hourglass right now. But I think also he's still a Hall of Famer. He can go on a heater for about a week. I'm hoping it doesn't start today.
Yeah, they've had it's just been a bevy of injuries, not just on the pitching staff. Jeremy Peña getting hurt, relying on the ghost of Carlos Correa, who's been batting leadoff for them.
Yeah,
they've dropped Altuve in the order. Like again, it just looks like a different team to me now, and it's all centered around Yordan Alvarez. And I still don't know why anybody would throw that guy a pitch. Make everybody else beat him.
Do you think it's a bullpen game tonight? Because Kawhi is only throwing.
Yeah, he's a relief pitcher.
Yeah, hey, 2 2/3 innings. The most he's thrown. Yeah.
Well, yeah, it's obvious he's dealing with load management. So
they
gotta take it easy with him.
So it's definitely a bullpen game tonight. Yeah. But you know why I'm not that afraid, Ed? Because he throws right-handed. We got a chance.
Hey.
He throws right-handed.
You know you can't hit left-handed pitching when teams go, hey, let's do an opener and just make it the left-handed guy. He'll start all three games this series. Yeah. They'd struggle.
Yeah, but he's doing pretty well. I mean, 16 strikeouts, 2.216 ERA, and very limited innings. He's 16 2/3 innings pitched, 16 strikeouts, so he is a strikeout guy.
So I'm going to say that tonight is the Boz game. That could mean anything, so that's all I'm saying. It could mean he was really good or really bad, but I do think it's at some point the talent there has to show up, and you see it in glimpses, but it's got to be put together for a full six innings, whatever, five innings, whatever.
Yeah, six of the third innings, four runs on eight hits his last outing, four runs in six innings the outing before that. His best outing was against Pittsburgh all year. He went 5 2/3, giving up one earned run on four hits. He did walk three in that game. That's what I think he's capable of. That was a cold weather game.
Mm-hmm.
No, it wasn't. That was 85 degrees that day. It was cold.
Oh, you were cold in
Sunday.
Chicago.
Yeah, it was cold that Sunday in Pittsburgh. So I'm with you. The talent has to show, you think. You know, speaking of pitching, Antonio and Rosedale wants to weigh in. What's up, Antonio?
Good morning. How you guys doing?
Doing well. How are you?
Good. Happy Taco Tuesday, guys.
That's right, man.
Yep.
All of the Orioles regretting that they didn't sign a top of the rotation starter in the offseason.
Hold up. Hold up, Antonio. Antonio, hold up. Jeremy got something for you. He missed out on it yesterday. Jeremy, give it to him.
Yeah, babe.
Yeah, babe.
There you go.
Have a wonderful day, guys.
You too.
He didn't get to finish the damn question, man.
Yeah, I heard it.
Go ahead, answer.
He said, do they regret not signing the top line pitcher? I think they will regret it regardless of what these guys are doing. But I don't think the results of what you're seeing is the regret.
And it's unfair too, because like people say this all the time. Dylan Cease has started off strong.
Yeah.
He got a ridiculous contract. Up until yesterday, if you'd asked Red Sox fans if you could give Ranger Suarez back, they'd give him back in a heartbeat. And then he had 10 Ks against the Blue Jays yesterday and pitched extremely well. You know, and some of the other free agent pitchers really haven't panned out the way that everyone's expected, man. It's Framber started off well enough with Detroit. We'll see how that finishes out. But there's been some buyer's remorse, especially with some of the import pitchers that have been brought in.
410-583-1057, that's the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Ken McCusick will join us in studio at 8 o'clock, but on the other side, we get stupid with Jeremy Kahn.
Yeah, I was kind of interested in which way I was going to go with this, because I got a couple of different stories. We'll talk about a home run that was hit last night, and we got another jackass in Cleveland, if you haven't seen this video. I don't know what gets in the people, and I understand it's that feeling of being a young man and catching a home run, which you should have caught it, buddy. But it turns into an ugly moment for him that he could never put that toothpaste back in the tube. We're also going to talk about a low-speed cop chase. Maybe you've never heard of it, but don't try to escape on a lawnmower. And then lastly, this one is, and there's video of it, which makes this unbelievably disgusting. A man was told that he couldn't prove whether or not his sister was deceased to get, you know, whatever, the rest of her money that was in her bank account.
Mm-hmm.
So he did something so outrageous, I think he proved it. We'll talk about that next in the World of Stupid.
After the Big Bad Morning Show, it's Vinny and Haney.
Hey, we got more draft stuff coming your way. Nick Baumgartner, The Athletic, get his thoughts on what the Ravens did and everyone else in the division. Kevin Allstriker, USA Today, will talk about what's happening out at the Castle. We'll preview the Orioles and the Houston Astros. Birds trying to get back at it after a rough one against Boston, and everything else happening on your Sports Tuesday.
Next on Sports Radio 105.7 The Fan.
This is an Odyssey Sports Minute.
Well, kids, try not to bet on college sports if you're a college athlete. Texas Tech's title hopes may be dashed after their star transfer quarterback Brendan Sorsby is taking a leave of absence to go to rehab for a gambling addiction. He bet on college football as a player at Indiana. That's bad. I'm Drake Toll.
Hey, y'all, I'm Maddie.
And I'm Poodle.
And together, we host the podcast Reality Gaze.
We are two ridiculous homosexuals who love nothing more than talking about reality television
and tearing in a new one.
So whether it's 90 Day Fiancé, Love is Blind, Love After Lockup, or any other trash TV show about lonely hearts looking for love, your gay besties got you covered, y'all.
New shows every week. Follow and listen to Reality Gaze wherever you
it's
get your podcast.
Reality Gaze, let's love.
From the 105.7 The Fan Traffic Center.
Good morning. 95 southbound in the city really backed up from past the 895 split through the Fort McHenry Tunnel. 895 southbound, you're on the brakes from Moravia Road through the Harbor Tunnel. The inner loop of the Beltway slow at Park Heights Avenue. The outer loop, stop and go from 95 all the way to York, and then on the west side from Reisterstown Road to Liberty. With your traffic, I'm Maria Dennis.
Highlighting stupid around the world. It's time for Jeremy Kahn's.
Come on, dumbass, play it.
World of Stupid.
All right, so I went on social media last night at one point and it immediately retweeted like five stories, and right. Three of these have now become the world of stupid. The first one is, we've seen this 1,000 times, foul ball or home run hit. You see an adult wrestling with a kid. I thought this video, when I first watched it, I thought it was an older video. Now we've been burned on this a couple times, like the Bryce Harper thing yesterday with him hitting a bird on a fly ball, and it turns out it's from 5 years ago.
Right.
This situation, it was a left-handed batter with a beard, and I'm going, oh, that looks like Jason Kipnis. That's all I can think about. That's Jason Kipnis. And then I scroll down a little bit more, and then I see the video again, and it says from tonight's game, and then I start looking at it, and I'm going, oh, that's not Kipnis, that's Daniel Schneeman, who hit a bomb for the Guardians last night. Fat dude with a beard, and I can say that because I'm a fat dude with a beard.
That's a pull, man. Jason Kipnis.
Yeah, that's what I thought it was.
That's a pull.
So this big dude with a beard is up there. He's trying to catch a home run ball. And first off, I understand for some people, like, taking back to their childhood, I've always wanted to catch a home run ball. But after I caught it, if there's a kid around me, I'm giving him the ball because the ball.
You just
want
to catch the ball.
Yes. I just want everybody to see my athleticism. No, I want to be holding a baby and a beer and catch it with my teeth.
You just like catching balls.
Well, hey, you practice at home long enough. You figured you want to be put on center stage. This cat, and if you haven't seen the video, I've retweeted it at JCon Sports. He drops the home run ball. It bounces around right in front of a little girl who goes to pick it up, and he does the reach in, I'm stronger than you, and rips the ball away from her. To which see him on his phone, he's getting texts, and people are like, hey, you look like an a-hole. You look like a jackass right now. Go give that girl the ball. And before he could even do anything, the team had already recognized it, went up there and gave a ball to all the kids in that area, including her, who was crying afterwards.
She started crying. Hard. Yeah. By the way, did you see the ball player who went into the stands, knocked the guy's nachos out of his hands, and came back the next half inning from the clubhouse?
Oh, yeah,
new nachos.
I do remember Prince Fielder falling into the stands and eating a guy's nachos.
No, this was either the last night or two nights ago. He knocked the guy's.
I wish I'd seen that because that's cool. But I remember Prince Fielder falling into the stands and taking a guy's nacho and dipping it and eating it and walking back to first base. So good. All right, let's move on to the next story. We'll get away from this jackass. How about a low speed chase? Have you ever been in one of those, Ed?
Yeah,
mulleted bozo tries to escape the attempted murder charge in a low-speed lawnmower getaway. Yeah. Dear John, that John Deere is not going to work. Like, what do you do?
Is that what the headline said?
No, I made that one up. Right. Hold on, I haven't read that far into the story yet.
The New York Post.
Yes, a maniac with thinning mullet, to point out the guy's hairdo, allegedly tried to murder several people inside a North Carolina home before fleeing from police. on a lawnmower.
Mm.
Woodrow Allen Smith, 62, allegedly fired his shotgun at a woman and two kids inside a residence in Sanford when police were called, and Smith took off on the lawnmower at a breakneck speed of 5 to 8 miles an hour. You know, I don't know why I brought this up in my mind, but in the office when they have the speed, what is that thing out there? It's like a radar or whatever. It shows you how fast you're going.
Right, yeah.
So, like, you know, he's running. You see a guy running down, and he picks up. He's like, 12 miles an hour. And he goes, I'm in first, 12 miles an hour. Then he's waiting, and he sees a car get ready to drive by, and he takes off running. He's like, oh, 32 miles an hour. No, it's buddy, you were going 5 miles an hour. He could have run up next to you and pushed you off the damn thing. What the hell are you thinking? According to Lee County Sheriff's Office, Smith also choked out one of the children with his bare hands and threatened to use the gun to kill them. So he's... You know, family guy. Yeah. His relationship to the woman and children wasn't imminently known. The Lee County Sheriff's Office responded to a domestic disturbance in which the individual was reportedly firing the shotgun inside the residence. And, the rest is kind of history. He's been arrested. He's charged with attempted murder, assault with a deadly weapon, intent to kill, discharging a firearm into an occupied property, possession of firearm by felony, and simple assault, according to police. What is that on with the child if he was choking the kid? Is that just... Is that attempted murder? Is that battery? Is that, I guess intent to kill? Well, that's the weapon. Anyway, he's got enough charges going against him, and he looks like a model citizen when you pull up his mugshot. You want to see him? I think he looks like a relative of mine. He looks like the guy that's my first cousin that married my other first cousin, or at least had a baby with her. Or him. All right, let's get to this last story, because this one is insane. A man in Odisha went to the bank, the local bank, and it's a poor area. He went to collect money after his sister died. He was cleaning out her bank account. Obviously makes sense. I don't know what the rules are in this area of how you deal with things. And apparently he wasn't certain because they said he had to bring his sister to get the rest of her money out, to which he was telling them, she's deceased. I can't do it. He didn't know what the proper channels were. So what do you think he did, Ed?
I don't know.
He dug up his sister and brought her to the bank. There's video of him carrying his dead sister on his shoulder. He had been trying to withdraw money from her account.
A death certificate wouldn't do it.
It would have, but he was, again, that's what I'm saying. I don't know if this is a very poor area, like if he knew the proper protocols to go through.
Right.
You know, I don't know. But bank officials kept insisting he bring the account holder in person, despite repeatedly telling him she had passed away. They didn't listen. He was frustrated and unaware of the legal process, so he took an extreme step.
Okay, so he didn't know about death certificates.
This incident shows not just a lack of
awareness. He knew about shovels.
But also a failure of basic human understanding in the system. This is just insane to me, man. Look, I showed Rob.
Yeah, you showed me.
I showed him the video. He's like,
man,
carrying his dead sister
literally
over
carrying
his shoulder.
Her.
Yeah.
And like, by looking at the area, I can imagine he didn't.
Sir, understand. She still has to sign these papers. Jesus! What am I supposed to do? Hey, one more thing before we get out. I was going to use this as a shovel, but since I already did one lawnmower bit, did you guys see? There was a thief.
The kid's a target?
No. There was a thief that stole a lawnmower. But before he stole it, he mowed the guy's yard. I'm still watching this. It's like the dumbest thing ever. He mows the guy's entire lawn and then just takes off with his lawnmower, and it's a push mower. So... That's your world of stupid.
Well, he did, you know.
I retweeted that video too. Look at this, Rob. He's a damn guy. He's mowing his lawn and then takes off with his lawnmower. I mean, is that fair pay? He didn't ask for it. Anyway.
410-583-1057. That's the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. We're giving out shovels at 8:45. Rob Bradford from WEEI joins us at 9 o'clock. But on the other side, Kim McCusick, FilmStudyBaltimore.com, joins us right here in studio on The Fan.
This is BJ Surhoff. You're listening to the best Orioles coverage on Sports Radio 105.7, The Fan.
The R&B Tour starring Usher Raymond and Chris Brown is coming to Northwest Stadium on July 10th and 11th. Tickets are on sale now, a Live Nation show. Keep listening to 105.7 The Fan for your chance to win tickets, courtesy of Live Nation.
From the Anderson Automotive Studios, This is WJZFM, Catonsville, Baltimore's sports talk at 105.7 and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Hey, what's up, Flies? This is David Spade.
Dana Carvey.
Look, I know we never actually left, but I'll just say it. We are back with another season of Fly on the Wall.
Every episode, including ones with guests, will now be on video. Every Thursday, you'll hear us and see us chatting with big-name celebrities.
And every Monday, you're stuck with just me and Dana. We react to news, what's trending, viral clips.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.